Good morning, everybody. I'm Ray Cruzy, and I'm here from the Department of Horticulture at Iowa State University, also representing my professor, Dr. Ajay Nair. And I'm here today to discuss with you about my project, Cover Crop Influence on Cabbage Production. For those of you that are familiar with vegetable production in Iowa, we have three general seasons that our summer could be classified into. We have the spring, summer, and fall season. And a lot of vegetable growers will plant a spring and a fall season short duration crop. And between those two cool season crops, there exists a warm, hot summer season. And that usually is too short of a period of a season to plant a third vegetable crop. Also, it's not favorable for a short duration cool season crop. And so what farmers commonly do is allow the weeds to grow after harvesting the first crop. They allow the weeds and the plastic to sit there until they get time to remove that, and then they manage those weeds until the fall crop is planted. What I'm trying to investigate is, can we plant a fallow summer cover crop that could possibly boost our yields in the fall, cabbage crop? The approach I'm taking is to plant two warm season cover crops that will thrive in this hot weather of the season. But I also want to compare the two warm season cover crops, which are sorghum, Sudan grass, and cowpea, to two cool season cover crops, which are oats and buckwheat. And I'm going to compare these four cover crops to a control where we just let the weeds grow unchecked, simulating what a farmer may do. I also want to investigate, can planting date after we terminate the cover crops, can that have an effect on the yield of the following cash crop? The hypothesis that I made was warm season cover crops will have the most pronounced effects on the following cabbage crop, since the cover crops are growing during the summer. I predict this because cowpea is a legume, it fixes nitrogen, and that will be a positive influence. Sorghum Sudan grass will generate the most biomass, but this biomass will immobilize the nitrogen since it has a low nitrogen content in the biomass that's being grown. Thus, it would be probably a negative influence on the cabbage. Also, planting immediately after the cover crop is terminated will decrease my cabbage yield compared to waiting a week. For my plot, I have five treatments that I had in a four replicate randomized complete block design. Within each treatment, within each rep, there were four rows of vegetables planted. Two of them were lettuce, which were analyzed for another study, and two of them were cabbage. The first cabbage row was an early planted cabbage row where the cabbage was planted 0 days after cover crop termination. So we terminated the cover crops, tilled them under, and planted the cabbage right into that soil. The second row of cabbage was planted 8 days after the cover crops were terminated. These are the planting rates of the cover crops in the plots. To prepare the plots, we tilled the soil, came by with a drop spreader, and then came by once again with a tiller and tilled in the seeds to a max depth of 2 inches. Here's what the cover crops look like 19 days after planting, 43 days after planting, and 61 days after planting. Before terminating the cover crops, we came through and did a biomass analysis. We placed down quadrants in the field that measured 50 centimeters by 50 centimeters and pulled out all the cover crops and then measured the total dry biomass weight. These were the results. For me, it was no surprise that sorghum Sudan grass has some of the highest biomass yields in the plots both years, but what did surprise me is that cowpea had some of the lowest biomass. I was figuring that it would probably have some of the highest biomass because it was growing during a prime season of, or growing during a favorable season. We terminated the cover crops using a flail mower. We tilled them under, laid plastic, and then transplanted our cabbages right into that plastic at the appropriate dates that I listed earlier. Approximately 2.5 weeks after planting the cabbages, we installed lysimeters in the plot and collected soil water leachate from those lysimeters that were approximately 2 feet below the rooting zone of the cabbages. And I analyzed those leachate samples for nitrate and nitrogen, and these are the results. For me, it was no surprise that cowpea had some of the highest nitrate and nitrogen readings, but what did surprise me is that buckwheat also increased throughout the season. I wasn't expecting that because it's not a legume. In the second year, cowpea had some of the highest nitrate-nitrogen readings again, but what did surprise me is that oats increased the second year. So it's just an interesting phenomenon. After transplanting the cover transplants, I noticed that the cover crops had some definite effects on the health of them after being transplanted. So I developed a health score system to rate them on their health after being transplanted. I did this twice for each year. And this, the health score system ranged anywhere from 1 to 5, with 1 being a plant that's not going to yield anything, to 3, which at that point in time that the health score was assigned, the transplant had not made any progress growing, and 5, where the transplant had made significant growth progress. These are the health score ratings from the first day in the first year. And cowpea, I want to highlight, had some of the highest ratings. The same can be said in the second year, or not the second year, in the second day of the first year. In the first day of the second year, the results aren't quite as cut and dry as the first year, but I do want to highlight again that cowpea has some of the highest readings for health scores. And the same can be said for the second day in the second year. Halfway through the growing season, we came by and did SPAD meter readings on the leaves of the cabbages. And one thing I want to highlight is that the cowpea had some of the highest readings for SPAD, which can be related to the amount of chlorophyll in the leaves. The same can also be said for the second year. So we harvested the cabbage in the fall, right after the killing frost, and these are the yield results. And it was surprising that, to me, that we had such a drastic yield difference in the first year, but cowpea had the highest yield in the first year. The second year, it wasn't quite as dramatic, but cowpea still did have some of the highest yields in the second year as well. One thing I also wanted to note is that sorghum Sudan grass had some of the lowest yields in the second year, and when we had more data to analyze. So some conclusions about my experiment is that cowpea increased the nitrate nitrogen to the cabbage. It can be seen in the soil water nitrate leachate graphs that I had showed, and where it had and maintained some of the highest leached nitrogen throughout the season. Cowpea tends to make vigorous plants, which resulted in vigorous or in a lot more yield at the end of the season. It was seen in the health score ratings that I'd showed before. But at the same time, this is just a trend. No cover crop showed a clear statistical advantage over the control. And there was no cover crop that consistently, statistically yielded higher all the time in any of the readings that I had. It was just simply a trend that cowpea always topped the chart. Also, buckwheat and oats have equal influences compared to the control. Throughout the readings, throughout the season, there was mixed results as to whether they increase or decrease the health score, nitrogen, as well as the yield at the end of the season. Sorghum Sudan grass has conflicting effects on nitrogen in the first year. I know I didn't highlight this, but in the first and second year, it never was at the low end of nitrate nitrogen leached, but it was on the lower side compared to the other treatments. And sorghum Sudan grass has conflicting detrimental effects on the cabbage transplants. Like I said, compared to the cowpea, where it consistently was at the top of the charts, sorghum Sudan grass was never consistently at the bottom of the chart, but it did trend lower. And no clear conclusions can be made between the planting dates. But with the data that I collected, and if I was suggesting to a grower with the parameters of the experiment that I had, and if they were in a similar scenario, I would suggest an early planting date would trend to benefit the cabbage, simply because the harvest date of the cabbage at the end of the season was dictated by frost. So we couldn't let the transplants that were in the field for 8 days less grow 8 days longer because the harvest had to occur. And so I'd say that extra week would benefit the cabbage transplants. I would like to acknowledge my major professor, Ajay Nair, as well as my fellow colleagues, lab assistants, and the farm staff that helped me out with this project. And I would also like to thank the North Central Stare for partial funding support. I would like to thank you for your time, and does anybody have any questions?
Explanations for the effects of the disturbance and ingress, because that is a common problem, the disturbance and ingress, and affecting the crop that follows. What would your explanation be for that?
For that, I would say it would be a combination, so I will go back here. So sorghum Sudan grass at the bottom of the graph here was what I would expect to be lower for leach nitrate nitrogen throughout the season. So that was no surprise to me that was at the bottom. So that would be one reason. But in the second year, the results were a little bit mixed, where it had a higher leach nitrate nitrogen. And so that would be one contributing factor. I would also say the allelopathic properties of sorghum Sudan grass that have been demonstrated in prior experiments or prior research would be another reason as to why I would say it would have detrimental effects on the cabbage, but it wasn't consistently seen through the data that I collected.
Did you use the same plots for the second year as for the first year, or were they different places in the field?
No, so the exact same plot was carried out on the exact same land the second year. I did flip the lettuce and the cabbage plots, but at the same time, the cover crops that were planted, they were planted on the exact same area, in both years. So if I was to see anything that was really drastic from the first year, I would have kind of expected to see that exponentiate on the second year. So.
Did you try to compensate for the nitrogen being provided by the legume?
I did not. No, I did not, because that was a treatment effect I wanted to experience if nitrogen was being fixed. I wanted to make sure that was going to be seen in the yield, and could be if we were to talk to growers about the benefits of cover crops. I wanted to make sure that this was going to come through in the data, so that we could talk about it as a benefit. Yes.
Do you think there'd be an advantage in terms of the feed bank for weeds?
Yes. So the cover crops competed with the weeds and suppressed them. I have some data that's not shown that was part of another experiment with the lettuce, where the cover crops all competed with the weeds and suppressed the weeds in some form. So I would say yes, that it would decrease the amount of weeds that would be contributed to the weed seed bank. So I would say it would be a positive standpoint, or a positive aspect. Does anybody have any other questions? Yes?
I'm just looking at the video on the slide again, looking at the week 4 and week 6.
Okay.
We will have the highest leaching.
Yes. Yes. So this is while the cabbages are growing. So I terminated the cover crops and planted the cabbages, and then I installed the lysimeters. And week one of collection, back here it seemed like the computer went out. But anyway, week one of soil water nitrate collection was actually about 2.5 weeks after the transplants were transplanted into the field. So week 4 and week 6 are approximately 6 and 8 weeks after the cover crops were turned into the soil, and that's what's being revealed here is what's being leached below the root zone.
Looking at the leaching and also the yield of cabbage, what do you recommend for planting a healthy cowpea?
Why would I recommend planting cowpea? Yes, I would recommend cowpea. If I was talking to growers about cover crops and improving their yield using cover crops, I would suggest using cowpea because of the increased nitrogen that it provided to the soil in this scenario where I planted it as a summer cover crop.
Okay, we're going to have that last question. So thank you very much.